it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, what's going on, everybody? It is the Nortown Automotive Extra Point Show. What the heck am I doing here on a Wednesday? Sal Capaccio with you. Well, that's because the Buffalo Bills have a bye week this weekend. So I'll be on today. You'll get the guys, Derek and Zach, back tomorrow and Friday. As I have a couple days of downtime, but if something happens with the Bills, I'll be available. I'll be around. But in the meantime, today, chance to talk with you on the Nortown Automotive Extra Point Show about what's going on with your Buffalo Bills and your Buffalo Sabres. We're even going to do some college basketball today. How about that? It's that time of year. You know, it's the bye week. It's the right time of year. It's the right week for this, right? You got the bye week, the team, the Bills just lost. You want to kind of forget about that. Think about the next game in a couple weeks. But yeah, get that taste out of your mouth. Get the Sabres playing tonight against the Senators, looking for their first win. And we have Major League Baseball going on, NBA preseason about to tip off the season. College basketball about to tip off. We're going to do it all today. Going to have Paul Hamilton join me at 11 a.m. or so. A little bit of a moving target there with Paul with the Sabres schedule, Lindy Ruff talking, and practice. But also today, very, very special treat for you and very excited today for me to talk to a couple of college basketball head coaches getting ready for a big exhibition coming up at KeyBank Center a week from Saturday. University of Buffalo men's head basketball coach George Halkovich III is going to join me at 10:40 a.m. UB taking on Syracuse a week from Saturday at KeyBank Center in an exhibition game. And Syracuse head coach Adrian Autry is going to join me as well at 11:30 a.m. So we got UB head coach George Halkovich. We got Syracuse head coach Adrian Autry. We got Paul Hamilton, head coach Paul Hamilton. I mean, maybe Paul could be a head coach. Paul's going to join me on the Sabres at about 11 a.m. So before we do all that, let's talk a little Buffalo Bills football, shall we? And where this team sits at the bye week. And the clamoring, I mean, even downright demanding for changes to be made by a lot of you out there. 803-0550, what change do you want? I'm just curious on that because I get a lot of these kinds of tweets at Sal Sports, by the way. Shoot me a tweet on X. I get a lot of tweets. We get calls on a reaction show, but mainly through social media, I get a lot of this. And sometimes, you know, because of a certain amount of characters, the way people want to phrase it. And I generally think that, okay, this is the way I look at things. Fans are going to be fans, and that's great. And that's what's great about fans. And fans can be very reactionary and irrational and emotional sometimes. It doesn't mean you're wrong to want, like, hey, say this guy is playing poorly or whatever. But as I like to say on the reaction show, like, you can't just go and start firing everybody after every loss. You can't do that, right? It's not a productive way to run any business or sports organization, and it's not realistic, okay? But at the same time, people want some changes. And sometimes I get a very general statement from people about accountability. You know, when's accountability? What? That was one yesterday I got. Where's the accountability? Well, look, what does accountability mean? Accountability means when someone steps up and says, I screwed up, I could be better, I could do something different. That's accountability. And when I heard Sean McDermott and Gerald Brady and Bobby Babich talk yesterday, I think they're accountable. But to you, maybe accountability is, oh no, you need to be fired. So what changes do you want? Do you want new players? You can't blow up the whole roster. Where do you want those new players? How do you want to get them? I like to have reasonable, rational discussions about these things sometimes. And it's not easy because it's not as easy as people think just to make changes like that. If you want to make a trade, great. Who are you trading with? Who's going to give you a guy and what are you giving up, and what's the salary cap implications? Those are things Brandon Bean has to work through. I'm not opposed to making changes. I'm not opposed to bringing in talent, more talent, different people, whatever. There's a lot of things that go into this stuff. Last year, they traded for Amari Cooper, and yeah, it was nice to see, and it was great when it happened. It didn't really work out. He got hurt. He wasn't on the field as much as you wanted him to, and he didn't seamlessly fit in right away, maybe, right, on an offense. There's a lot of things to consider. A couple years ago, you traded for Rasul Douglas. That worked. That was a great move. Rasul Douglas, he helped immediately. Maybe that's something that you're looking at. You can look at every position. You can look at players and say, well, this guy's not playing well. Okay, what's the answer? You can't just go grab an all-pro from another team. I think sometimes people think there's all-pros just sitting on other teams everywhere, and the Bills are the only team that don't have them. It's not the way it works. Doesn't mean that those players can't be better or can't be upgraded. But what's the process of that? And maybe it's coaching. Yes, I know a lot of you want Sean McDermott fired. It's just not happening right now. They're 4-2. They've been through lulls before. Those things are just off the table. They're just unreasonable right now to talk about. You want to talk about it after the season, however it ends? Sure. Even coordinators. Now, they have made changes at coordinator in the past during the season. Just did it 2 years ago to offensive coordinator with Ken Dorsey out and Joe Brady in. I think it's too early for that, but I give that space when people tell me about it or talk about it because they've done it before. Like that could, or something you want. Let's get to the phone lines. 803-0550. Let's hear what you have to say about this here on a Wednesday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Mike in PA, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Sal. Yeah, you know, I really think the Bills got to go out and get a trade. I know they're going to have to give up assets to get this player. If a team's willing to even trade you, we're kind of being reactive now in the wide receiver market instead of proactive and drafting one. But I think we're backed up in a corner, and I think we got to go after a wide receiver. And I know we need a cornerback as well or a safety, but you got to keep Josh involved. I've watched 3 games now where I've seen Josh on the sidelines, and it's becoming a meme where he's sitting there frazzled and just not into the game. And you got to keep him in the right headspace. So that's why I'm going to prioritize wide receiver. Plus, it's more fun when we're scoring touchdowns over a cornerback, which I think we equally need both of them.
I like it. So I think that what you've done for me here is that's the way I'd like to phrase this. Like, what's the priority for everybody, right? You say wide receiver, because you can't go out and just trade for a whole bunch of players and have a new roster. It's not going to happen. So wide receiver. Now, I do want to push back on one thing, Mike. I'm on the sidelines every game, as you know. I would definitely push back and say that Josh isn't into the game. Like, when he comes off the sidelines, the first thing he does is go talk to his position coach and grab a tablet and sit down and look what's going on. You may get a shot of him on TV, and he's looking down because he's looking at a tablet. He's looking to see. Like, they're trying to fix things after every series. So I don't think he's not into the game in any sense whatsoever. I think he's very into the game.
That might be the case. They're just catching him in a spot where he's looking confused and frazzled and frustrated, and it's just – I know the other fans are thinking that's perception, and maybe that's not. That's just how they're portraying it on TV. But I got to keep him involved. I don't know the last time I've seen him smile, really, and just be on the sideline. And they haven't shown it on TV. But I got to keep him involved, and I just got to keep that offense moving. But with that said, with some of the wide receivers, they have to go after younger talent. I would see, like, Chris Olave would be a guy. I even would go as far as to say Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't know.
I heard you say that. Didn't you? Did you call the last show and say that?
I did. Yes.
Yeah. And I just say, look, that's a pipe dream, Mike. It really is. It's unrealistic. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals aren't trading you Marvin Harrison Jr. It's just not happening. And if you want to give up a couple of first round picks, maybe, and dangle that. But it's just those are things that just aren't happening. But I agree with you. Younger talent at wide receiver. How do you get it? You draft them, though. That's how you get those guys. Let's go to Steve in Tampa. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Sal. I'm a Penn State alum, so between Penn State, the Bills, and the Sabres, it's been a rough couple weeks for me here. So I was actually texting with a friend on Monday night, and I jokingly said to him, you know, what if...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what if Sean McDermott is just NFL James Franklin? And afterwards, I kind of got to thinking there's a little similarity there, right, between the two of them. They both stepped into programs that were in really rough spots. They built them up. They got them into that national relevance, and they both have a pretty safe floor, I'd say, right, season to season, and kept you in that national conversation. But we just saw with Franklin, you know, there kind of came that point where there was less and less, I would say, goodwill with the fan base for not being able to get over the hump.
Right, but Steve, the question is, so Steve, you want this now? Like, you want this after six games of 2025?
No. What I want to ask you is, do you think we're on that same path? What's the tipping point, do you think?
I don't know, because I'm not the owner, right? And the owner would be the person that has to make that decision. The owner, yeah. And for me, from every indication I've ever gotten, like, the owner believes he has a really good coach here, and that's not going to happen. Now, that being said, I don't know. I mean, I couldn't answer that. Maybe a season where you miss the playoffs without, you know, having major injuries.
Right.
If it happens, if you get to where you've been the last few years and it ends the same way, maybe that's it. I don't really know what the tipping point is, but it's not happening after 6 weeks of 2025. Let's go to Matt in Hamburg. Hi, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Sal. I just had two quick things. One, I'm not in the fire everybody camp. I think we have a lot of good things going on in Buffalo, but I do think that we are potentially staring down the barrel at having Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White, and Gabe Davis all on the field for us in starting roles. Mm-hmm. And that just seems like a 3-year setback. And the other part of what I was going to say, so I mean, something needs to be done about that, but the other part
Where would you concentrate first?
You know what? Honestly, I do go back to I got to trust Bean, but it's hard to say if he keeps investing in the defense because he's covering up for a bad if he keeps investing in the defense because he's covering up for a bad defense, and that's why maybe he doesn't focus on receiver. I don't know what our fix is this year, but that'll bring me into the second part of what I was going to say. With our schedule, with the Chiefs and Ravens getting off to the starts that they got off to,
yeah.
I don't think we need to sell out like the Rams did years ago, but we need to make an aggressive move. We need to do something. The most success we've ever had at wide receiver was when we did make such a bold move for Diggs, and that was awesome for years until, honestly, he got a little older and lost a step.
The issue with that, though, Matt, is you did that in the offseason, right? That's something you do in the offseason. It wasn't something that happened during the season. If you want to do something now, and I'm not saying – I know what you're saying, and maybe you're saying that. They do it the offseason. Yeah. But you know, people want answers now, and I agree with you. You kind of have to think about – I agree with you that the schedule, the way it's set up, where you are, now's the year. Like, now's the year. And to be aggressive, I mean, to go to – you wait till the offseason, you're past that point. And I think that's where the issue lies. And that's where the complication is. Let's go to another Steve. This one in Texas. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Sal. I talked to you a few weeks ago before the New England game, and it was like, you know, if they drop that game, and I don't know if you remember it all, I was like, oh, boy, we're going to go down there, and that game's going to be for the division. I sure am kind of sad that actually looks like it's going to happen.
Yeah, we all said the same thing. We knew that would be the case, and here we are a couple weeks later.
Yeah, but
So what do you think now?
Yeah, I think now I'm with McDermott and Brady. I'm really hoping they can just, you know, evolve just a little bit more. And the thing that just really concerned me about this game was that punt from midfield. Considering we know the defense is having trouble. And I think that was if I don't get this fourth down, this game could be over and I'm going to punt it back. But sometimes I think that, you know, you need to keep.
Which punt are you talking about? Second half? Are we talking second half? The one after Elijah Moore's play?
No, the first half punt when it was 4th and 3 and they were around midfield.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, when you say here's the thing, here's the issue I have sometimes, Steven. This is not a shot at you at all. I just want to ask you, when you say evolve, what do you mean? Because actually, I mean, I can sit here and people could think that I'm crazy, but I'm not. But when I say, like, Sean McDermott is actually very, very atop of, like, the the numbers on when to go for it, when to, like, he is actually very good at those things. When you say evolve, what do you mean?
I think evolve is, you know, when you're in that spot, I mean, I know there's the numbers, but the numbers are taking the league averages and not the fact that we still have Josh Allen as our quarterback. I think from that spot, you know, Dan Campbell's going there. And I think that's playing not to lose, is punting from that spot. And you're showing your quarterback that he's got to do something special on third down, because you don't trust him to go pick it up on fourth if he gets short, and Josh won't take a check down, because if somebody gets fourth and one and they don't pick that up, McDermott's not going to go for it. I think that's showing that you're not confident in your quarterback.
Okay, I'm looking now. It looks like there's a fourth and six here, maybe, that they punted in the first half. I mean, there's a – okay, here we go. Wisnowski, fourth and three from the Bills 49. Sure, you could go for it there. That's fine. I will tell you this, though. You go for it there and you miss. I hope you don't call up and say, I can't believe they gave the game away right there.
No, because they're – you know, the game's already getting away from you in that spot.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole point.
Right. Okay, I get it. It's fine, Steve. It's one decision. I'm just saying, like, when you say evolve, like, this coach has actually really, really evolved since he's become the head coach. It's one decision you disagreed with. It's one decision you disagreed with, and I get it, and that's fine. And you can disagree with that all you want, and doesn't mean you're wrong. And it's fourth and three. Maybe they should have gone for it there. I'm looking at it now. Actually, that was fourth and six. No, wait. That was it. Yep, that was fourth and three. That was after the Josh Palmer. Josh Palmer was the last series before that. Sorry, but I'm just trying to figure it out here, just so we're on the same page. DJ in Lockport, what's up, DJ?
Hey, first off, I'm still optimistic about the team. They're still going to figure some things out, but we've had these lulls before, so I'm not, like, you know, pulling my hair out thinking it's all over and done with and blow it all up. But my call is, I kind of want to look back and really see how great Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer really were for this team, because I feel like every defensive struggle we had kind of folded over into the next year. But back when we had those two guys in their prime, it seemed like it didn't really matter. Milano was great too, and Bernard came in was good. But, like, all the same issues we kind of see right now are happening without having two, you know, stud safeties back there keeping mm-hmm. everything in front of them. And it just goes to show that Bean can find these guys. It's just a matter of, can we find a couple more? And I do have confidence we do. I kind of don't like the fact that he's so ingrained in his job. And the reason why I say that is because he's not going to go out and just give up the two first-round picks to go get a good player, because he's not going to say, you know, if this doesn't work out, I won't be here to deal with it anyway type thing. But all I keep thinking is, man, those guys were really great when we had them, and I hope we can find a couple more guys to fill their shoes, because I feel like that's a big part of McDermott's defense, is not having those stud safeties back there doing what they always did. So I'll hang up and listen, and have a great day, Sal.
Okay, thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. A couple things on this. Number one, I said Jim, I'm sorry. It was DJ. Hyde and Poyer were signed before Bean became general manager. They were signed after Sean McDermott became head coach, and then Brandon Bean became general manager later that year. I just want to clarify that, you know, timeline there when you said that he found them or whatever, however you phrase that. Number two is, and I know you're just DJ kind of, you know, maybe exaggerating a little bit, and that's fine, but there aren't very many trades mid-season where any team gives up two first rounders for the greatest studs on other teams. It just doesn't happen, right? Like, again, like, you have to deal in reality of how it works. Now, that could happen in the offseason, and maybe you could find it. You could say, no, Sal, a team did this. Maybe. I guess it could happen somewhere. I don't remember in the season that those kinds of deals happening very often. I think the Rams might have did some a couple years ago with somebody. I have to go back and look. Was that Vaughn? What did they trade for Vaughn when they got him? Maybe that was something along those lines. But good start to the show. We're going to take some more calls before we get to George Halkovich, the third, the head coach of UB Men's Basketball. That comes your way at 10:40. But more of your calls on how do you want to prioritize the changes? What changes do you want the Bills to make? And how do you want to prioritize that? Here, next, on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.